You'll find the text this evening in Jude 19. And in these words, having not the Spirit. Having not the Spirit. Something vital and of the utmost value. That's the title of the message tonight. And the subject before us is a most sobering and serious one. Having not the Spirit. Many who attend church know something about the Holy Spirit. At the very least, they have heard His name. Sadly for many, they know little or nothing more than the name. They have no experimental knowledge of the Holy Spirit or His work. What knowledge or acquaintance have you tonight with the work of the Holy Spirit? What has He done for you? What benefits have you received from Him? Can you say of the Holy Spirit tonight, He dwells within me and sanctifies me? Have you the Holy Spirit? It's a very challenging question this evening. And the text before us just now solemnly underlines that there is such a thing as not having the Spirit. It is something that demands our earnest and urgent consideration this evening. It is of vital importance to everyone to know whether or not they have the Holy Spirit. As we discover from reading Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, it says there, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And all that we might consider now with these solemn words about the Holy Spirit. And be absolutely sure, but before you leave this church tonight, you have the certainty, the assurance that the Holy Spirit, the blessed Holy Spirit of God, is abiding in your heart. This is vital for now, and this is vital for eternity. For each and every one of you tonight. To know the witness of the Spirit. That His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. That we are the children of God. There are three main thoughts that I want to bring to your attention tonight. In dealing with this subject. And these words, having not the Spirit. First of all tonight. Let me underscore to you that it is essential to have the Holy Spirit. Nothing less than your soul's salvation depends upon having the Holy Spirit. Life or death, heaven or hell, eternal happiness or eternal misery are bound up with whether or not you have the Holy Spirit. And let me suggest to you tonight, if you have not the Spirit, you have no part in Christ. You have no title for heaven. We have quoted that text already tonight, Romans 8 and 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Also 1 John 3:24 says, hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given to us. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit is the common mark of all believers in Christ. It is the shepherd's mark on the flock of the Lord Jesus, distinguishing them from the rest of the world. It is the goldsmith's stamp on the genuine sons of God, which separates them from the dross of the mass of false professors in this world. It is the King's own seal on those who are His peculiar people, proving them to be His property. It is the earnest which the Redeemer gives to His believing disciples while they are in the body as a pledge of the full and complete redemption yet to come at the resurrection day. Have you the Holy Spirit tonight? Have you the mark upon you that you are a child of God? The seal that you are in Christ? Let it be clearly understood that he who has not the Spirit has not Christ. He who has not Christ has no pardon of his sins. He has no peace with God. No title to heaven. No well-grounded hope of being saved. His religion is like the house built upon the sand. It may look well in fine weather. It may satisfy him in time of health and prosperity, but when the flood rises and when the wind comes, it will fall. And great will be its fall. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, my friend, great will be your fall at that great last day into hell itself. Think about that tonight. And then I want to suggest to you that if you have not the Spirit, you have no holiness of heart. Heaven is the place to which all people hope to go after death. It would be well for many if they considered calmly what kind of dwelling place heaven is. It is a holy place. It is the habitation of the King of Kings, who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. It is a place into which Scripture tells us there shall enter in nothing that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. It is a place where there will be nothing sinful or sensual. Nothing worldly, nothing foolish, nothing frivolous, nothing profane. Let the covetous person remember there will be no more money there. Let the pleasure seeker remember, there'll be no more pleasure there. Let the drunkard remember, there'll be no more strong drink there. Let the gambler remember, there'll be no more gambling there. The everlasting presence of God, the saints of God, the angels of God, the perpetual doing of God's will, the complete absence of everything that is sinful. These are the chief things that make up heaven. And let it be written upon your heart tonight, my friend, that if you have not the Spirit of God, you will not be in heaven. You will not be ready for heaven. No Holy Spirit in you in this world, you will not be fit for heaven. You would not even like heaven if it was possible for you to get there. You would not even enjoy heaven. There is much play on the word holy today. Holy church. Holy baptism. Holy days. Holy water. Holy services. Holy priests. All kinds of words are added in with the word holy and joined in with it. But one thing is 1,000 times more important. That is, to be truly holy is to be holy by the Holy Spirit. Have you the Holy Spirit tonight? We must be made partakers of the divine nature while we are alive upon the scene of time. We must sow to the Spirit if we are to ever reap life everlasting. Have you the Holy Spirit? Let me suggest further that if you have not the Spirit, you have no right to be considered a true Christian. And no will or power to become one. You know, according to the standard of this world, it is so easy to become a Christian. Baptism or church membership or being a good citizen, attending to good works, doing charitable exercises, this will be satisfactory as far as the world's standard is concerned to make a real Christian. But what about the standards of God's Word? And that's what we refer to tonight. The Word of God. And it requires the cooperation of all three persons of the Trinity. It requires the election of God the Father, the blood and intercession of God the Son, and the sanctification of the Holy Spirit to make a person a Christian. All three must meet together on the soul that is to be saved. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit uniting together in that work to make any child of Adam a true Christian. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 or chapter 12 verse 3, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You see, true Christians are born of the Spirit. Are you born of the Spirit tonight? They are led by the Spirit. They live in the Spirit. By the Spirit they mortify the deeds of the body. By one Spirit they have access through Christ unto the Father. Their graces are the fruit of the Spirit. They are the temple of the Holy Spirit. They are the habitation of God through the Spirit. They walk after the Spirit. They are strengthened by the Spirit. Salvation is impossible without the Holy Spirit. Nothing less in the power of Him who moved upon the face of the waters in the day of creation can ever raise us from our low estate. He who said, let there be light, and there was light, must speak the word in order that you might be raised tonight to newness of life in Jesus Christ. No Holy Spirit, no true Christianity. No Spirit within you. No Christian. You cannot be a Christian without the work of the Spirit of God within you. There's so much that goes in the guise of Christianity today, which is an absolute fallacy. And is totally devoid from the teaching of divine truth. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. I want to look secondly with you tonight at the essence of this matter of having not the Spirit. And let me say tonight that all men have not the Spirit. A person may have good wishes like Balaam. They may do many good things like Herod. They may be almost persuaded like Agrippa. They may tremble like Felix. And yet be utterly destitute of the grace of the Spirit, as these people were. Paul tells us before conversion, men may know God in a certain sense. They may have thoughts accusing or excusing one another. But he also tells us that before conversion, men are without God and without Christ. Having no hope, they are in darkness itself. And that's your condition tonight if you're not saved. Without Christ. Having no hope. Is there a person here tonight in this church without Christ? And the Lord Jesus Christ says of the Spirit in John 14:17, he says, the world seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of God must abide. And the individual must dwell in your heart. Is the Spirit of God dwelling in your heart tonight? And let me say also that all members of churches and baptized persons have not the Spirit. Jude speaks of members of the visible church in his day as having not the Spirit. Some of them probably had been baptized, admitted into the professing church, no matter, they had not the Spirit. They had religion. They had ceremony. But they had not the Spirit. Having the Spirit is not the portion of every person. The fact that a person is baptized as a member of a church is no proof of the presence of the Holy Spirit. How shall then I know whether a person has the Spirit? The presence of the Spirit in a man's soul can only be known by the effects which it produces. The fruits that are brought forth. In Luke 6:44 it says, every tree is known by his own fruit, and the effects which the Holy Spirit produces may always be seen. The man of the world may not understand them. They may in many cases be feeble and indistinct, but where the Spirit of God is, he will be manifested. He will not be hid. He will not be idle when he enters into the heart. He will manifest his presence. Can I see the wind on a stormy day? No, I can see the effects of it. I can't actually see the wind, but I can see the effects of its force, its power, the howling of the wind. I can hear that. I can see the swaying of the trees. There are other things that will manifest that the wind is up. The wind is blowing. So it is with the presence of the Spirit in the soul. There will be the manifestation. Can I see the dew of heaven as it falls on a summer evening? No, I can't see it. But I go out in the morning and there it is. I can feel it. It's the dew. So it is with the presence of the Spirit of God in the soul. If the Holy Spirit really is in the heart of an individual, it will be seen in the effects that it produces on his heart and his life. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, we read, 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we're truly saved, we'll not walk in darkness. If we have the Spirit of God, we'll not walk in darkness. And then, of course, in chapter 3 of 1 John and verse 10, we read, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. If we're truly the children of God, we will do righteousness. We will love our brethren in the Lord. The old principle is laid down by Christ, by their fruits ye shall know them. Where the Spirit of God is, there will be fruit. And he or she who has no fruit of the Spirit in their lives has not the Spirit. You can't be saved and live like the devil, friend. If you're truly saved, you will show the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Have you the Holy Spirit tonight? Are you truly saved tonight? You're going about with some kind of profession that's worth nothing. Deceiving yourself and deceiving the people around you, but not deceiving God, for God sees your heart. And God sees exactly how it is with you tonight in this service, having not the Spirit. Then let me look finally at the evidences of the Holy Spirit in the heart where he dwells. The special marks by which the presence of the Holy Spirit is in any individual heart. It may be discerned. And let me say also here that all who have the Spirit are quickened by the Spirit, made spiritually alive. You see, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of life. That's how he's described. In John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. We are by nature dead in trespasses and in sins, dead to the life of God. And the Spirit of God moves upon the heart and brings that person from a state of death to that which is spiritual life, makes that person a new creature. He causes old things to pass away and all things to become new. He makes us put off the old man and put on the new man. You have the great contrast there in John 11 between Lazarus, who was shut up in the tomb, and Lazarus coming forth at the Lord's command. He was dead, but he was called, he was quickened, he was given life and freedom, and the freedom that life gave. How different was Jairus' daughter lying cold on her bed to Jairus' daughter being raised and speaking to her mother. It was a complete transformation. And my friend, when you come to Christ and take Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within you, He quickens you to new life. Have you this new life in Christ tonight? Let me say also that all who have the Spirit are taught by the Spirit. The Spirit of God, according to Ephesians 1 and 17, is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. According to John 14 and again John 16, He shall teach you all things. He shall guide you into all truth. We're by nature ignorant to spiritual truth. The natural man, according to 1 Corinthians 2:14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. But the Spirit of God opens the understanding. The Spirit of God illuminates us. He calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Have you been called out of darkness, friend? Into the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, one of the evidences is being led by the Spirit to the Word of God. This is the instrument by which He especially works on the soul. The person born again is born again by the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And the person in whom the Spirit dwells delights in the law of God. Have you the Holy Spirit tonight? You're born again by the Word of God. Spirit using the Word, your heart. Have you the Holy Spirit? And then, of course, when the evidence is being convinced of sin by the Spirit when He has come, John 16:8, He shall reprove the world of sin. Have you been convinced of sin? Have you been awakened in your heart to the awfulness of your state? Have you been alarmed to your fearful depravity? The exceeding sinfulness of sin? Have you saw yourself in your sinful condition, in your depraved and degenerate state? The Spirit of God convinces of sin. And then, of course, the Spirit leads the person to Christ for salvation. It's one special part of His office to testify of Christ. The Spirit leads man to Christ. It doesn't lead man to a preacher, but leads man to Christ. He shows Christ as the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He shows Christ as the way, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He shows that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And then, of course, the Spirit leads to purity of life. He's called in Romans 1, the Spirit of Holiness. When the Spirit dwells in the person, He causes them to follow purity. It's an evidence of the Spirit's work in the heart when they leave sin. And they leave their sinful path and they follow purity. Sin is no more pleasant to that person. They flee from that sin. They walk with God. They hate, according to Psalm 119, every false way. And then, of course, the Spirit leads people to be spiritually minded. They that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. Romans 8 and 5. Just as the caterpillar, when it becomes a butterfly, it can no longer be content to crawl upon the earth, so will the affections of the man who is the Spirit reach up toward God. We'll no longer be thinking of the earth or of the world. We'll be lifted onto that spiritual plane with God. Our affections set upon things of God. Have you the Spirit tonight? All who have the Spirit feel a conflict within them between His Spirit and our Spirit. There's a conflict. All who have the Spirit love others who have the Spirit. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We have a common Savior. We have a common faith. We have a common service. The hope of a common home, fellowship with one another, friendships together in the Lord. How can you say that you're a true Christian if you hate your brother? The Bible says you hate your brother, you abide in death. But if you are truly saved, you love the brethren in Christ. Be a mark that you are a child of God. Are you a child of God tonight? Are you living a pretense, a profession that's empty and void of anything that is scriptural or spiritual tonight? I say this, that those who are truly saved, have the Spirit of God, are taught by the Spirit to pray. He's described, that is the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of grace and supplication, Zechariah 12:10. And the elect of God are said, according to Luke 18:7, to cry to Him night and day. Those who are truly children of God are those who pray. When's the last time you were at a prayer meeting? When's the last time you prayed? You say you're a Christian? You say that's rather hard hitting. I remember years ago when I came as a young believer to this church, something in my teens, not tell you what age I was, you'd be counting it up. Some of you already know my age anyway, probably. There you are. But I came to the prayer meeting, and there was a man in the prayer meeting, a godly man who's long since gone to glory. And he welcomed me to the prayer meeting upstairs, just as a young believer. He said, it's good to see you in the prayer meeting. And he put his arm around my shoulder and he said, you know, he said, when people are saved, he says, I give them a little time to see them in the prayer meeting. And then he said, rather starkly, he said, if they're not in the prayer meeting after 6 months, he said, I wash my hands of them. I thought it was hard and strong at the time, but I've learned, friend, there's a lot of truth in what he said. And you know, friend, if you're really saved, you'll want to pray. Just as an infant will cry when it feels pain or hunger because it is in its nature, so with a new nature implanted by the Holy Spirit, oblige a man or a woman to pray. And I say it again tonight, when's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you really prayed? He has the Spirit of adoption and he must cry, Abba, Father. Have you the Holy Spirit tonight? If not, seek him tonight. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. It is vital, having the Holy Spirit. It is more valuable than gold to have the Holy Spirit. Have you the Holy Spirit? Will you come to Christ tonight? You look to Christ, be washed in the precious blood that was shed upon the cross. If you are saved, seek the power of the Spirit in your life. For you cannot live for Christ without the Holy Spirit. You cannot serve Christ here in Ulster or on the foreign field or wherever it is without the Holy Spirit. There are people today, I don't know what they're in God's work for, because their only interest is the promotion of themselves and prestige and what they can get by way of financial benefit from it. But if you have the Holy Spirit, you'll do the work of God in the power of the Spirit. You'll seek power through prayer, power to witness, and power to live before an ungodly world. Having not the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, indelibly write upon our hearts thy holy truth tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.